ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नम् दीनं माम् करुणानिधे सर्वं ग्राह्य गृहीतारं मामुद्धर भवार्णवाल् श्रीमल्भागवदाख्योऽयम् मनोरथे मदीयोऽयम् सफला सर्वदा त्वयम् निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यम् दासोऽहम् तव केशवाम् भवे भवे यथा भक्तिपदयोस्तव जायते तदा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वम् नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनम् यस्य सर्वभावप्रणाशनम् प्रणामो दुःखशमनम् तम् नमामि हरिम् वरम् जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्वयादिदरदश्चातेष्वभिज्ञस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्महृदया आदिकवये मुह्यन्दियल्सूरय तेजो वारिमृदम् यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषाधाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तगुभगम् सत्यम् परम् धीमहि धर्म प्रोज्जितकैतवोऽत्र परमो निर्मल्सराणाम् सदाम् वेद्यम् वास्तवम् अत्र वस्तुशिवदम् तावत्त्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमल्भागवते महामुनिकृते किम् वा परे ईश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तल्क्षणान् निगमकल्पदरोर्गलितम् फलम् शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतम् पिबद भागवतम् रसमालयम् मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयम् नुमा यम् प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुवेदम् अवेदकृत्यम् द्वैपायनो विरहकातरमजुहावाम् पुत्रेदि तन्मयदया तरवोऽभिनेतु तम् सर्वभूतहृदयम् मुनिम् आनदोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपम् अतिथिदीर्षदाम् तमोऽन्धम् संसारिणाम् करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यम् तम् व्याससूनम् उपयामि गुरुम् मुनीनाम् नारायणम् नमस्कृत्य नरम् चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीम् सरस्वतीम् व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेल् कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदादृदाननेन्दोः मम वाजि विजृम्भताम् मुरारे मधुरिम् न कनिकापि कापि कापि नमाम् विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वति देवीम् गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशकारिणे श्रीमल्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्याम् नमः वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणाम् पदरेणुमभीष्णशाम् यासम् हरिगतोद्गीतम् पुनादिभुवनत्रयम् गोपीचरणारविन्दपरमाणवे नमः पीताम्बरम् करविराजितचक्रशङ्खम् कौमोदगी सरसिजम् करुणासमुद्रम् राधासहायम् अतिसुन्दरमन्दहासम् वादालये शमनिशम् हृदि भावयामि कोमलम् कूजयन्वेणम् श्यामलोऽयम् कुमारगा वेदवेद्यपरम् ब्रह्म भासताम् पुरदो मम मोगम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गम् लङ्घयदे गिरिम् यल्कृवातमहम् मन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् ओम् श्रीकृष्णाय नमः सो वी विल हैव टू स्टार्ट टुडे द फिफ्थ कैंटो ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम् इन द fifth canto, you can see that so far we were talking about the story of Swayambhu Manu, Shatarupa Devi, his wife, and the five children, Akuti, Devahuti, and Prasuti, the three daughters, and Sutanapada and Priyavrata, the two boys. So five children, Swayambhu Manu, and this family life, that is what we were discussing in two cantos so far. Third canto and the fourth canto is nothing but the story of this family, Swayambhu Manu's family. Swayambhu Manu, his wife Shatarupa, and the three daughters and the two sons. Even there, we have not completed the story of one son, which is Priyavrata. Priyavrata's story we have not spoken so far. So you can see, the family history is not over yet. We have only completed the, except Priyavrata, most of the other stories we have spoken so far in these two cantos. Priyavrata's story is yet to come. That is coming in the... So the fifth canto begins with the story of this son of Swayambhu Manu, known as Priyavrata. So before we go into that, we have to look at something about the third and fourth cantos also. In the third and fourth canto, basically we were looking at what did we see there? We saw that the family of Swayambhu Manu, in which the three daughters and Uttanapada and his life, we saw from so many things there, that virtually in the Bhagavatam it's mentioned at so many places that atra sargo visargascha, it says there the srishti or creation process is mentioned in the third and fourth canto. Creation means two types of creation, Ishvara srishti or Krishna's creation and Jiva srishti, our creation. So these are the two types of creation mentioned in the Bhagavatam, Krishna's creation and Krishna's creation and our creation, Ishvara Srishti and Jiva Srishti. So out of this, if you look the way Vedavyasa has put it, is that this creation, what has come about is that the mind, the senses and the intelligence, which has been originally created by Krishna's arrangement, has gone into the living entity's constitution or living entity's body. And the living entity continues the creation from then on, because we cannot create anything unless these three elements are available in our own body, namely the mind, the intelligence, as well as the five senses. So these five senses, the mind and the intelligence together, causes the creation behind the living entity's process of creation. In fact, the primary creation Krishna has already done. It is a secondary creation that when we start doing something, these three elements comes in. So without the help of these three elements, we cannot do anything in this world. The soul has no other ability to continue this creation. And what did we create? That's another question comes. In fact, it is from the interaction of the mind, intelligence and the senses that all the material world begins. In other words, when we say material world, we all talk about material world. What is this material world? Material world is nothing but actually the creation of our own mind, senses and the intelligence. And unless this mind, senses and intelligence comes to an end, we are going to have the material existence forever. That is the way what is called as liberation. Liberation means all these three things, intelligence, senses and the mind, is completely stops its activities. It has no more function after that. In other words, when it is purified to such a degree that one do not engage in material, one do not have the desire to engage separately from Krishna or to engage in sense gratification or making other plans to exploit the material nature, all this comes to a dead stop as soon as the mind, intelligence and senses comes under control. So in other words, these three elements are the cause behind the material world. In other words, what we call as material world is actually coming from the interaction of these three elements, mind, intelligence and the senses. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi, while presenting this creation process, he has kept these things in his mind to understand, make us understand that unless and until these three things comes to a stop, the material world will continue. And the moment it comes to a stop, the material world is finished. Then everything is spiritual after that. So this is the point to make. But When it comes to Krishna's creation, it doesn't come in that way. It is in a different way. Krishna's creation is Ishvara Srishti, or Krishna's creation is such that Krishna created everything what was required for the living entity to take it further from there. All the primary or basic ingredients Krishna has provided. So Krishna's creation is like that. Living entity continues the creation after that. Therefore it is called a Sargam and Visargam. Sargam is Krishna's creation. Visargam is the living entity's creation or Jiva Srishti. So like this it is mentioned there. And it also says there that in these stories of the third and fourth canto, Vedavyasa Maharshi also wanted to mention that how do we come to a stop of all these things? How do we stop this functioning? Stoppage is possible only when the mind stops its material activities, or the body stops its material activities. Like through the body we have an ability to function in this world. We use our body to perform so many things. But karma is the nature of this body, that we can't change it. That is always there. It's inherent in the nature. Then we continue to perform karma. But that karma, when it is free from the reaction, or in other words, when karma is executed properly, that can free oneself from its reaction, then it becomes karma yoga. Otherwise, it is all karma, bondage only. So similarly, when the mind is engaged through knowledge, through devotion, and through yoga, and when that is purified, the activities of the mind will also stop. Just like when the activities of the body stops through karma yoga, or when one executes activities in relationship with Krishna, all his karma is finished. There is no more karma. That becomes karma yoga. Similarly, when the body stops its activities, and when the mind is stopped through devotion and through the process of yoga system, one is, or Sangha Yogam, one is able to stop the activities of the mind. Mind gets purified, and that is through the process of Bhakti Yogam. Similarly, through the process of acquiring the spiritual knowledge, if one is able to purify one's intelligence and accept the Shastra, as the Shastra says about this, and understand, then automatically the Jnana Yogam also comes into effect and purifies the intelligence. So all these three yoga systems are possible for one person to execute. But at the same time, this is the three methods through which these three different yoga systems purifies the individual person or individual soul. And when one is freed from the activities, one is freed from all the sense gratificatory activities, and the body, mind and the senses comes under control, then it is considered to be that it is liberated. And that is a state of liberation. That means liberated state is possible even within this material body. That is what we have to understand. They are known as Jivan Mukta, one who is already liberated while living within this material body. So that liberated state, what is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is that one executes his activities in relationship with Krishna. And by serving Krishna with his mind, body and the senses and intelligence, everything, 100% when one is engaged, by Krishna's grace, one is released from this bondage of material life. Or in other words, the mind, senses and intelligence stops its functioning in relationship with material activity and is totally purified to perform activities in the spiritual world, or another spiritual activities begin from that point. So that is how that is mentioned in the third canto and fourth canto. So sometimes it is also compared like this. The five children of Swayambhu Manu is nobody else than the five senses. The wife Shadarupa Devi, she is nothing. Shadarupa, the word itself, you can see that Shadarupa means hundreds of forms, which is the nature of the mind. The mind takes so many different forms at different times. And Swayambhu Manu is nothing but that intelligence. So in a comparative state, it is also explained like that. But from the point of view of creation, Swayambhu Manu, Shadarupa Devi and the five children of Swayambhu Manu and Shadarupa Devi are the topic what we discussed in the third and fourth canto and their story. So in other words, Krishna's creation, Ishvara Srishti, is through these personalities of Swayambhu Manu, Shadarupa and the five children. And Jiva Srishti, or the living entity's creation, is through the mind, senses and the intelligence. So you can see that relationship coming there. So whatever it is, at the end, when Maitreya Maharshi has spoken all these things to Vidura, Vidura understood the subtleties of these things, and it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam that Vidura was extremely pleased with the way Maitreya Maharshi spoke from the beginning of creation, and why the living entity got caught up in this material world in doing different things, and ignorance of Krishna's position acts in a way. Why people do not worship Krishna? That's a question Vidura asked Maitreya Maharshi. And Maitreya Maharshi explained this through the process of creation, explained to him why people do not worship Krishna. And when Vidura heard that, he was satisfied with the explanation, and he traveled from there further. So then we move on to the fifth canto, Panchamaskanda. Panchamaskanda means the fifth canto. Is actually now we are coming back to the story of Priyavrata. So this Priyavrata, we were talking about it last Sunday. Priyavrata was the eldest son of Swayambhu Manu. But somehow or the other, Priyavrata from the very early days itself, he had no interest in this material world. In other words, he had no interest. He has accepted, in the Bhagavatam it says, Paramahamsa Dharma. Paramahamsa Dharma means the Dharma of Paramahamsas. In other words, he had no desire to get entangled himself in this world through family life or through any other activities. On the other hand, all he wanted was to go back and perform austerities and penances and to go back to the spiritual world. He was very clear in his mind what he wanted to do. So, Priyavrata, if you look at fifth canto, it begins with Sri Rajavaja. Parishit Maharaj is asking some questions there. And that questions are very significant because Parishit Maharaj heard from Sukadeva Goswami that Priyavrata, after leaving home, he went to looking for practicing spiritual life. And eventually he ended up marrying twice and having some 13 children from that marriages. Two marriages and 13 children. And Parishit Maharaj could not understand that, because normally in the Vedic tradition, if one has gone for spiritual life sincerely or seriously, there is no question of coming back and engaging in a family life again or to get attracted to the material energy. That is a rare thing to happen, especially in those days. Today it's a little bit different. Today is okay, it's alright. But those days it was not like that. They had very clear idea what they were doing. And their minds were not so disturbed like us that whether to stay here or there or this way or that way, these doubts were not there in Priyavrata's mind. So when Priyavrata did this, then Priyavrata had to come back like this. Naturally, Parishit Maharaj had this very important question to ask to Sukadeva Goswami. Why did this happen to Priyavrata? Why Priyavrata had to come back and get married, get involved in family life, and all the other consequences coming from that? Priyavrata Bhagavata. That is how Parishit Maharaj begins the question itself. Priyavrata Bhagavata. That he was a pure devotee. And a pure devotee who was preparing himself to go back to the spiritual world, he had to come back and get entangled in the householder affairs. And when he said that, Alpa Rama Katham Mune. What type of person was Priyavrata? Priyavrata was Alpa Rama. Or in other words, he was so transcendently situated that there was no question of him coming back, because this kind of karma bandha parabhava, that karma bandham, that this parabhava, the householder life brings only one thing. What is that? The karma bandham. That is, in other words, one gets entangled in this world to such an extent that ultimately he finds it difficult to free oneself from that. That is the nature of householder life. Whether it's a man or a woman, it doesn't matter. When one has fallen into that, and Prahlada Maharaj said this to Hiranyakashipu also, the same thing, exactly the same thing. Prahlada Maharaj mentioned to Hiranyakashipu, when Hiranyakashipu asked him, what did you learn at the school? This is what he said to him. He said to him, I learned one thing, that that getting involved in this family life, andhaya dandairubaniyamanam tebishadandriyam uridam nibadhaha, that all you are doing is one blind man leading another blind, you are leading him, another blind person, into the same well of darkness, and there you get stuck there and no way how to escape from that. So that is not Paramahamsa Dharma. Paramahamsa Dharma means the dharma or the principles of those people who are looking for freeing oneself from this cycle of attachment or from the cycle of this bondage or attachment to this material life further. So Priyavrata, this happened to Priyavrata. And Priyavrata was actually living in the palace of Swayambhu Manu. So Swayambhu Manu wanted Priyavrata to take charge of the kingdom. Naturally, as a father, just like every other father wishes, son should also follow his footstep. So he wanted Priyavrata to take control of the planet, but Priyavrata mentioned to Swayambhu Manu, I have no desire to do all these things. Rather, I would like to go to the forest and execute some spiritual life, and let me go back to the spiritual world. And my brother Uttanapada is interested. He seems to have enjoying all these things. So let him rule the planet. Let him manage the affairs. And he can get married, and he will have his children who can continue. I have no interest in these things, he said to Swayambhu Manu. But Swayambhu Manu said that being the eldest, you should take care of these things. What is the urgency to go into forest and to engage in sannyasa ashram and everything? Rather, you stay here and get married and have children, and after some time when they were all grown up, just like normally any father will say, at the old age you can go and engage in your spiritual life. This was the answer from Swayambhu Manu to Priyavrata. But it was at that time, one day, that Sri Narada Muni came to visit them in the palace. When Sri Narada Muni came there, Narada Maharshi came there as usual on one of his routine visits, and he met Swayambhu Manu, and while he was leaving the palace, Priyavrata went along with him and told Narada Muni that this is my desire. I want to leave home and I just want to engage in spiritual life. I have no interest in this world. I don't have much of a desire to get involved in family life and children and all that kind of things. Rather, I would like to use my time to engage myself in the service of Krishna. Narada Muni said that, so there was a hint in there that Priyavrata wanted Narada Muni to speak to Swayambhu Manu and get himself accepted, his position accepted by Swayambhu Manu. But Narada Muni said to Priyavrata that asking a father or a mother to tell them that I'm going for spiritual life, I'm leaving a home, they are never going to give you any permission. Because as far as the parents are concerned, this sannyasam is nothing but death. It is just like death. There is no difference. Once somebody is dead, you can consider more or less that as far as the parents are concerned, that he is no more used to the family any time. So it's something like one, you can write it off, that as far as he is concerned, it is over. So generally, the parents won't allow that to happen. They will not give with their open-mindedness. They will not give the permission to take sannyas. So that's never happens. So knowing very well these things, Sri Narada Muni told Priyavrata that it is better not to discuss this too much with your parents. Rather, just come along with me, and took him with him and went to Gandhamadana Mountains. And in Gandhamadana Mountains, he gave the instructions to Priyavrata. He gave the instructions to Priyavrata to engage in spiritual life, and then on. And from there, he went to Sri Narada Muni, left him there, and went away on his travels. So it was at that time that in the palace, Priyavrata went missing. So Priyavrata was missing, and Swayambhu Manu was very concerned, so he started sending people to find out where Priyavrata has gone. So eventually, they found out that Priyavrata is staying in Narada Muni's ashram. So when they found out, they sent people to get Priyavrata back. But Priyavrata won't come back. Priyavrata was staying back in the ashram. So immediately, Swayambhu Manu, realizing the situation, he decided to immediately pray to Lord Brahma to come on the scene. This is all happening through the mind. And Swayambhu Manu's prayers were answered, that Brahma came onto the spot and came and started instructing and came to the place where Priyavrata was executing his penances. So when Brahma came, automatically Swayambhu Manu was there. Sri Narada Muni also arrived. So with Sri Narada Muni and Swayambhu Manu, Lord Brahma, and almost so many other sages who were present there, Brahma started his famous instructions in the first chapter of the fifth canto. So it is there that we read in the Bhagavadam that Brahma talks about a lot of things. Brahma makes us understand that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that no living entity has any freedom. We think that we have a lot of freedom. But Brahma, from the very beginning, makes it very clear to Priyavrata that he compares there between the householder life and the sannyasa ashram, and points out what will happen if one takes sannyasa ashram and without being fully qualified for that. And in every ashram, when one enters into brahmachari or grahastha or vanaprastha or sannyas, there are certain samskar which is associated with that. If that samskaram is not there, that ashram will not work, that situation will not develop properly. In other words, if one takes to some life in a particular ashram without the proper understanding of that or the required qualifications for that, the possibility is that he may fall from that, and the degradation that will come along with will be somewhat difficult to overcome. So many things Brahma has instructed to Priyavrata in that first chapter. So Priyavrata was actually, that is the point when Priyavrata had to change his mind. Because Brahma sensed that the renunciation that was required for moving into sannyasa ashram was not there in Priyavrata's heart to the degree what it was required. And if one gets into sannyasa ashram without having the proper renunciation of this world or detachment of this material world or material attractions, there is a strong possibility that after some time he could be dragged down again by the powerful Maya, Maya's material energy. Or material energy, that means a very high degree of detachment is required to this material world before one enters into sannyasa ashram. So I'll just read that first chapter and then we'll talk about it. Shri Raja Vacham Priyavrado Bhagavada Alma Rama Katamuni Grihoramadayan Mula Karma Banda Parabhavam Nanunam Mukta Sanganam Sadrishanam Dujarshaba Grisheshu Abhinivesoyam Pumsam Pavidomarhadim Maharam Khalu Viprashe Uttama Shloka Padayom Chaya Nurvada Chittanam Nakudumbe Naspahamadi Nakudumbe Saspaha Nakudumbe Spahamadi Samshayoyam Mahan Brahma Dharagara Sudadishum Sakta Sayal Sidrabul Krishne Jamadirachudam Shri Shugavajam Bhadamuktam Bhagavadamuktam Ashlogasya Shri Macharanaravindam Agarandarasam Aveshita Chedaso Bhagavad Paramahamsa Deidagadam Kinjid Andaraya Vihadam Swam Shivadamam Padavina Prayena Hinundi Yarhi Vavaharajan Saraja Putram Priyavrata Paramabhagavado Naradasya Charanobasevaya Anjasavagada Paramartha Sadattvam Brahmasatrena Dikshishyamanam Avanidala Paripalanaya Amnada Pravara Gunaganeiganda Bhajanadaya Sobitroba Mandrido Bhagavati Vasudevameva Vyavadhana Samadhyogena Samaveshida Sagala Karaka Kriya Kalavam Naivabhya Anandadyadivi Tadapratyamnadavyam Tadadhikaranam Atmano Ninyasma Sadobi Parabhavamanyukshamanam Adaha Bhagavana Adi Deva Medasya Gunavisargasa Paribrahmananudhyanam Vyavasita Sakala Jagadabhiprayam Atmayoni Akhila Nigama Nijagana Pariveshidam Subhavana Avadadaram Satatra Tatra Gaganadalam Udubadrivaimana Avali Virabi Anupada Paramara Parivrade Abhibujyamanam Padipadija Parivujasha Siddha Gandharva Sadhya Charanamunikanai Ubhagiyamanam Gandhamadana Droni Avapasayan Nupasasarpaha Tatraha Vayevam Enam Devarshir Hamsayani Nepidaram Bhagavandam Hiranyagarbham Uba Hiranyagarbham Ubalaba Manam Sahasaivothayarhanena Sahabitra Sahapita Putra Abhyam Avahidanjali Upadaste Avahidanjali Upadastehi Bhagavana Bibhara Tadvanida Arhanam Sukta Vagenadi Adaramudita Gunaganavadara Gunaganavadara Sujaya Priyapradamadi Purushastvam Sadeha Savalogam Itiho Vaja Shri Bhagavan Vajam. So up to this, Parishit Maharaj has raised these doubts about the Priyavrata's returning back to householder life. And also there is said that we all know that that one who has moved into the sannyasa ashram normally do not come back into householder life again. That is the system. So why did this happen to Priyavrata? And in answer to that, later on, when Brahma came on the scene, and here it says Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Bhagavan Uvacha is referred to Brahma now. Lord Brahma is referred to as Bhagavan now. Nibhodadadena mṛtam bravīmi māsoidam deva marhasya prameyam vayam bhavaste tadamesha maharshir vahāma sarve vivaśa yasya dishtam nadasya kaschittamasa vidyayāva na yoga vīryena manīśayāva naiva artha dharmai parada svadova kṛtam vihandam tanibradhyabhoyāl bhavāya nāśāya ca karmagartam shogāya mohāya sadā bhayāya sukhāya dukkhāya ca dehayogam avyakta dishtam janadāṅgadate Yadvachitandhyam kunakarmadamabhi sudustare valsavayam suryojidaha sarve mahamobilim ishwaraya prodana sivadhyupade chadushpadaha ishabhisrishtam yavirun mahinga dukham sugam vagunakarma sangal astaya dattadhyudayum tanadam chakshukshmadandam ivaniyamanaha Mukto avidavad brabiyal sadeham arabdhamashnan abhimanya shunyaha yadhane budam brabiyada nidrakim dunya dehaya gunan nabante bayam brahmatyasavane shabhisyal yadasamaste sahashal sabatnam jitendriyasya atmanadeer buddhasya vihashrama kimna karotya vadyam yashal sabatnan mitigishamano griheshu nurvishayade edaburvam atyedi durga ashidam urjidaren shineshu gamam vijare dhubaschil Tvam Tvabjana Khangri Sarojagosham Durgashrido Nurjita Shalsabatna Bungsheha Bhogan Purusha Adidishthan Vimukta Sangha Prakrim Bhajaswaha So, these nine verses in the Bhagavadam is through which Lord Brahma tried to explain some important things to Priyaprada. Priyaprada was unable to understand this question, as I said before, that why that Priyavrata Parishad Maharaj could not understand why Priyavrata had to come back. So in the first verse itself, Brahma says that every one of us, actually none of us has any freedom. Brahma says there, including me, Lord Shiva, Sri Narada Muni, and every one of us is completely controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That it is Krishna who controls everyone to such a degree that immediately due to illusion we think that we have a lot of freedom. We have a lot of independence to do things what we want. But in reality Brahma says to Priyaprada that we have no freedom to act in any way. In fact, every one of us are controlled to a very, very high degree by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that how Krishna controls us is that what is explained in the next few verses. In fact, in the Brahma Samhita also, you will see exactly the same thing coming from Brahma. Brahma, what he has spoken here, he has spoken in Brahma Samhita also. Ya chakshureva savida sakala grahanam raja samurti saramo tirashesha tejaha yasya ajnaya brahmana samrita kala chakra govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. That Krishna says there, that Brahma says there then, all the planetary systems, they move around and they are in their orbit, they keep rotating in that. And they move in this orbit. Ya chakshureva savida sakala grahanam. And the sun planet, Raja Samasta Suramu Tirashesha Tejaha. That the sun planet, who is actually considered to be the king among them, who provides the necessary heat and light for this planet, Raja Samasta Suramu Tirashesha Tejaha. Yes, Yajnaya Brahmana Sambhada Kala Chakram. That it is under Krishna's control, Krishna's guidance, that all these planets are rotating and they are functioning exactly the way Krishna has wanted them to do. In fact, even in the sun planet, Krishna is present there as Savitra Mandala Madhyavarti. That is how in the Vedas it's referred to. As in other words, Surya Narayana. Narayana present in the sun planet as Surya Narayana. So Krishna is present in all these, all the planetary systems, all the living entities everywhere, Krishna is present there. And by His presence alone, He is able to control every living entity to the highest degree. There is no, but foolishly we think that we have our own plans, we have our own ideas, that we are independent to do what we can do, what we want to do. But in strictly speaking, if one has some intelligence, if one can understand these things, that in this material world, sometimes we notice that everybody wants to be the controller. We want to control each other. And either a powerful state wants to control a weaker state, or a powerful person wants to control the weaker person. But the fact is that everyone, including the powerful personality or the powerful people or the powerful state, is also completely under the control of Krishna. So it is Krishna's control that everything is happening. Nobody has any independence to do anything. Foolishly we think that we can alter and change the situation. But because we have that powerful illusion called Maya behind us, completely controlling us at all stages, we are completely misled by the powerful illusion that we take ourselves to be the controllers of this world. But that is the one thing what Brahma wanted to point out to Priyavrata straight away. That me, I am Lord Brahma, who is actually behind all this creation. And I have no freedom, Brahma says. I have no freedom. Neither Lord Shiva has any freedom. Nor Swayambhu Manu has any freedom. Nor Srinarada Muni has any freedom. Every single one of us, we are moving, doing things according to the desire of Krishna behind us. And that is what Brahma wanted to point out. Yachakshureva savida sagalagrahanam Raja samasta suramurti rashesha tejaham Yasyajneya, by whose instruction? Brahmana sambhudakala chakrau Govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. That Govindam, Krishna's control is so powerful that one has no freedom to free oneself from that. We have no freedom at all. No matter what we do in this world, no matter what we turn upside down, ultimately it doesn't matter who it is. Every single one of us are completely controlled by Krishna's energy. And that, as long as we don't accept that, we have a problem. We are trying to oppose that and work against it. And at the end, we lose the battle, no matter who it is. Every one of us lose that battle. You can make so many claims, I have done this in this world, done that in this world. But at the end, we ultimately, Yasyajneya Brahmana Samdhuda Kala Chakram, that Kala Chakram, the wheel of time in Krishna's hands, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami, that Govinda, Brahma says, I pay my obeisances to him. So if Brahma has this realization, what about our realization? Our realization is that we are still thinking that this material world, I am the monarch of all I serve, that everything is in my control, I can still control, alter the situation. But therefore it says there, Brahma says in the next verse, Bhavaya nashaya cha karma kartam, shokaya mohaya sada bhayaya, sukhaya dukhaya jadeha yogam, avyakta deshtam janadangadatem. That bhavaya nashaya cha karma kartam, shokaya mohaya sada bhayaya. This is the living and it is life in this world, always lamenting and always thinking how to oppose the other side or how to work against it. Bhavayana shayaja karma kartam, he is engaged in karma to such a degree that it is destroying himself in one way or the other because he doesn't know how to escape from this entanglement. So when one do not know how to escape from this entangled situation, what does he do? He complicates it further by acting against it, everything. But he doesn't want to accept that there is a higher authority behind us who controls us to a very, very high degree, our life, in everything what we do. To such a degree they control us, but still we are thinking, Bhavaya nashaya cha karma kartam, shokaya mohaya sada bhayaya, and always fearful. It doesn't matter who it is. Every one of us have always this fear, what will happen tomorrow, what will happen day after tomorrow, who is my enemy waiting to destroy me. And this comes in an individual level, it comes in a national level, it comes in a big level also. In so many different levels, it is the same thing that is happening in different circumstances. Shogaya mohaya sada bhayaya. So, bhavaya nashaya cha karma kartam, shokaya mohaya sada bhayaya, sukhaya dukhaya jadeha yogam, avyakta deshtam janadangadate. Brahma says here that shokaya mohaya sada bhayaya, sukhaya dukhaya jadeha yogam, and even this body what we have today, even that has been provided by Krishna's arrangement. Krishna has given us this body. That you take this body, go there and enjoy and suffer. Sukhaya dukhaya ja deha yogam. Brahma acknowledges this point that a particular body has been given to living entity. People blame me, Brahma says, that I am actually giving the material body. No, I am the creator. That's how they call me. But in strictly speaking, it's not me who has created. It is Krishna's creation. My duty is to release them as and when the time is due. Sukhaya dukhaya ja deha moham avyakta nishtam janadangadatem. And then, how does that controlling process go on? Yadva jidandhyam gunakarma dhamavi sudustaram valsavayam suyojidaham sarvevahamo belimishwaraya pridhanasivadhyubade chadushpadaham. Then in the Srimad Bhagavatam, while referring to this, Brahma says that yadva jidandhyam gunakarma dhamavi. There are two things which Krishna has kept moving in this world, in controlling us. One is known as the three modes of nature or the gunas. These three modes of nature is one rope and the other rope is karma. So karma and gunam, yadva jidandhyam guna karma dhamabhi sudustaram valsavayam suyojidaham. That just like when you tie the bulls to a cart, normally they put the ropes through the nose and tie it into the into the wood and piece on their shoulders. And then they are controlled by the rein, by the person who is running the bullock cart. So it is considered to be in the same situation for us. Yadva jidandhyam gunakarma dhamabhi, gunam and karma, these three modes of material nature and our own karma, that activities, that is what is binding us in this particular condition. We have no freedom to come out of that. So for comparison's sake, it is mentioned that when the bulls are engaged in ploughing the field or towing the cart, in either way, the bull has to do its duty. And when the bull has done its duty properly, at some point in time, the farmer or the person who drives a bullock cart will release the bulls from that bondage, will allow the bull to come out of the cart or from the plough. And then the farmer will feed the bulls. It is only at that time the bull gets some freedom to eat something out of the mercy of the farmer. So in the same way, these two ropes which are binding the living entity, namely the three modes of nature and karma, is completely controlling the living entity to such a degree that he has no freedom to escape from that. That is what Brahma is saying here to Prevada. Yadva jidandhyam guna karma dhamabhi sudustaram valsavayam suyojidaham sarvevahamo belimishwaraya prodhanasivadhyubade chatushpadaham. That when he gets that freedom, it is not going to happen on one's own effort. One cannot put a lot of effort and say that I will be free myself, I am free. No, one is never free from this because one is controlled to such a degree, but totally, by the three modes of nature and karma. So these two forces are working in this world. And one, when one critically thinks about it, one can understand how these things are controlling people. But for those who do not want to accept the karma, the law of karma, one who does not accept the modes of nature, they keep on doing things. And in that process, they make it more complicated and they make it more difficult. And because they have no solution to the problems, why? Because their understanding of the material nature, then they have not accepted the authority of the higher authority of Krishna. They always end up in their own activities, they get more entangled and they get further and further complicated in this material energy. That is how it happens. So to make that point very clear, Brahma mentioned this to Priyavrata, that this is our situation, you must understand that to Priyavrata, he said. And in the next verse he says, yadva jidandhyam gunakarma dhamabhi sudustare valsavayam suyojidaham sarvevahamo belimishwaraya prodhanasi vadyubade chadushpadam ishabhi srishtamya virunmahenga dukham sukham va gunakarma sangal astaya tattadhyudayunthanada chakshushmadandham ivaniyamanaham. That when there is a blind person, if you are an intelligent person, you should take him in the right direction. That is what is required. But that is not what normally happens in this world. You can take it in any level, even in a family level, or in the state level, or in a big country level, whatever it is. It is the blind leading the blind situation. The father is thinking that if I can provide all the material happiness to my children, eventually that will protect him. But the fact is that Krishna is in control, and the living entity, according to one's own karma and one's own modes of nature, what one has associated with, accordingly his life will turn out at the end, and that you cannot alter it. Similarly, even the big leaders, they also make this same mistake. They keep on declaring that by their policies, so-called policies, and by their activities, they are trying to protect the people. Or in other words, at least they give the impression they are trying to protect the people. But in that process, it is not guaranteed that one will be protected. In other words, Even if some protection happens, if it is at the happening at the loss of so many other lives, and that is how they are able, they are doing it. So in other words, there is no proper understanding that if they want to protect somebody, how do we protect? And because of the lack of this understanding, which is in the Srimad Bhagavatam, what the great sages have compiled, and because of the missing this point of Krishna consciousness, that it doesn't matter who it is, everyone is under the control of these two things, three modes of material nature and the loss of karma. So it says here, Isha abhisrishtam avirun mahenga dukham sukham va guna karma sangal. What happiness and distress what one is experiencing in this world is coming from these two things, guna and karma, three modes of nature and one's own karma. And astaya datta didayum kadada chakshushmadanam ivaniyamanah. That so accordingly a blind person gets led in this world, similarly another blind person is leading him. Once we do not accept the knowledge of the Srimad Bhagavatam or the instructions of the great sages, everything becomes very, very difficult. Then it is completely on a mental platform. In the Bhagavatam, while referring to this, Sri Narada Muni and Vedavyasa Maharshi, while discussing the nature of the material world, it was mentioned there, tasseiva hedu prayededa kovido nalabhyade yad brahmadam upariyadaha nalabhyade dukhavadanyada sugam kalena sarvatra gabiraram hasam. That happiness and distress, it cannot be changed because it is a large degree, it's already fixed up by Krishna's arrangement. That is what we get in this world, nothing more, nothing less. And that happiness and distress, what we get on a temporary lifetime, is not the important factor, but Vedavyasa Maharshi says there that if one has the opportunity to free oneself from this bondage of karma and gunas, three gunas and karma, then that is all when he has really escaped from this prison house. That is his freedom. That is a real freedom. Otherwise there is no freedom. So-called freedom, what we are talking about, is not considered to be freedom from the Vedic point of view. Mukto abhidavad bubriyal sodeham arabdhamashnan abhimanya shunyaha tata edhanibudam pradiyadanidra kimthanya dehaya gunan namrangtem. So, if it is like that, what happens to one who is liberated? That question comes. Mukto abhidavad bubriyal sodeham arabdhamashnan abhimanya shunyaha. That when one is free from the, or when one is freed from this bodily concept of life completely, and if he is gone beyond than that, even then you may see him in this world, in that particular body. Why? Arabdhamashnan abhimana shunyaha. That prarabdha karmam is keeping that body still here. He is not completely able to leave this material world. He has to live here. He has to stay here. But while in this material world, the difference is that in that liberated state, arabdhamashnan abhimana shunyaha, that he has come out of that pride and false ego which was identifying him with this material world. He has become free from that false ego. So because he is free from the false ego, whatever activities he has been doing in this world is not binding him anymore. That is the difference in him. Just like an example is given here, that when one goes into the dream state, when one is dreaming at night, he is experiencing everything in the dream. But at the same time, as soon as he wakes up from that dream, comes to his wakened state, the dreams, what he has experienced, doesn't bother him anymore. So just exactly in the same way, that even when one is properly liberated, even in this lifetime, when one is in a liberated state, even while living in this material world, although it may appear that he is doing so many things in this world, at the same time, because his consciousness is elevated in Krishna consciousness, he is in Krishna consciousness, he is freed from all the reactions of that activities, what he does. It may appear that he is performing so many activities in this world, but at the same time, those activities are not binding him anymore. Why? Because of the absence of false ego. Arabdhamashnan abhimana shunyaham. So, mukto vidavad bhuryal sudeham arabdhamashnan abhimana shunyam. And yathanibhudam pratiyada nidrakim tunyade haya gunanavinte bhayam brahmatyasya vayesho visyal didasthamaste sahashal sabatnam jirendriyasya atmaryade erbhudasya ghashrama kim karotyavadyam. So, manashal sabatnam. Shal sabatna means the six things, the five senses and the mind. These senses and the mind is the most important factor in spiritual life. If these things are brought under control, one has won the battle. But controlling them is not easy. So it says here, Brahma is saying to Priyavrata,
Bhayam Brahmatasya Sahasralavatnal, that even if one has taken sannyasam and one has gone to the forest and left this material world, if these things are not in control, it is useless, Brahma says, because after going to the forest, he is still unable to control his mind and the senses. Or, in other words, even in the sannyasa ashram, it can happen that if one has not completely got his mind and senses controlled, he will fall back again into the same pool of material illusion. So, instead of that happens, Brahma says here, Bhayam Brahmatya Savaneshabasal Sa Aste Sahashal Sabatnam Jidendriya Syatmarade Erbhudasya Grihashrama Kimna Karotya Vadyam. Whereas on the other hand, if one has managed to that able to get his mind and the senses in control, and if he is acting properly, there is nothing going to happen to him even if he lives in the householder life. That is what is the most important thing that Brahma is explaining here. That do not take it that if you have given up everything and taken to sannyasi's course and left this home and family and everything gone away, thinking that now you are freed. Sannyasa ashram is not a wrong ashram. But unless and until one has got that real detachment and renunciation in his heart to the highest degree, if one enters into sannyasa ashram, it can happen. Brahma warns here that he will come back again into this ashram and material desires will disturb him throughout. It is not easy to say to everybody that I am detached and I am renounced and all that. It is all just words. It doesn't work like that. The these different ashramas were set up for certain reasons. It is not that grihastha ashram is inferior or superior to any other ashram. Every ashram has its own lesson to teach the personality. And when one goes through that ashrams, one has a lot of things to learn also from that. And moving into sannyasa ashram, out of pride or out of desire to show that I am detached, it doesn't work like that. Because Maya and Krishna's ways of Krishna has set up this Varnashram Dharma system in the way that one has to go gradually through this and eventually able to give up the attachment to this material world. That is the goal. But if it is not done in the proper system, in the proper way as it is mentioned, the possibility that one can fall back from that position at any time. Or in other words, although you may give up, take up sannyasa ashram and go, and in the sannyasa ashram you will start other family life in a different way. The same attachment what was there for position, fame, and family life and all other kinds of material desires what was there in one's own early life will come back and haunt him in different ways. So Brahma is warning Priyavrata at this point that you are not ready for it. You should take that time to go through this and eventually come back from that. And you will see later on when Priyavrata finishes his administration after marrying twice and so many children were born from that family, one day how proper detachment came to Priyavrata at that stage in life to give up his activities of this material world. And that was the perfect understanding what Brahma has spoken here. It says here, Vayam Brahmatya Syavane Shabhisyal Jarasamaste Sahashal Sabatnam Jidendriyasya Almiradeer Buddhasya Grihashrama Kimna Karyotya Vadyam Yashal Sabatnam Vijigishamano Griheshu Nirubishayade Edaburvam Atyedi Durga Ashradam Urjidarin Kshineshu Gamam Vijare Dyabaschil. Then that Brahma is explaining that, comparing himself with the king who is trying to fight an enemy in a fort. So generally, when the kings, when they want to consolidate their position, when they are in a battle, they stay in the fort and consolidate themselves inside the fort to fight the enemy. So exactly like that, the householder should stay in his householder life and try to control, get his mind and senses under control through the ashram of householder life. And that is what is mentioned. Yashal sabatnan mijigi shamano griheshu nirubishayade edaburvam atyedi durga ashadamur jidarin chineshu gamam vijare divaschil tvam tvabjana khangri saryoja kosham durga ashadu nirjidashal sabatnaham bungsheha bogan purushadidishtan vimukta sangam prakritim bhajaswaha. Then otherwise what will happen is that as long as these six things are not under control, the mind and the senses, which is the most difficult thing, Krishna also acknowledges this in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Krishna claims them very clearly. Durjayana mahammana. That this mind is the most difficult thing to control. There were so many great personalities in the history of the human society itself. There are very, very powerful personalities who have taken to sannyasa ashram. What to speak about our own, what to speak about ordinary people. Vishwamitra Maharshi, he was a king and at the same time, at one stage, he wanted to become a great sage. And because of his strong desire, he started performing penances. He performed penances to such a degree that Krishna had no other option except to give him what he was asking for. So penances brings that. When one executes very strong penances and austerities, ultimately he is rewarded by Krishna's arrangement, seeing because that is the sacrifice one makes. So through penances, Vishwamitra Maharshi became very, very powerful in the sense that he became what is known as Rajarshi. That means a sage among the kings. That was the title given to him, Rajarshi. So after he became the king, saintly king or Rajarshi, he further continued his austerities and penances, and then he was not satisfied. So Krishna had to give him the position as Brahmarshi, or one who had the highest realization as the impersonal Brahman. He has realized that as well, or he was known as Brahmarshi Vishwamitra Maharshi. Even then he was not satisfied. He was so determined in his mind, and he continued his austerities to degree that Vishwamitra Krishi Anushtup Chanda Shri, that is how it is mentioned, that some of the Vedic mantras are referred to him as the Krishi, who is the inventor of those mantras. In other words, he has contributed so much to the different mantras in the Vedic system that he was given the position as Vishwamitra Krishi, that he became the sage who has invented. Normally most of the mantras, there is always in the beginning the sage who has invented that mantra. Just like today, if you make a big scientific discovery, modern science, you are given a Nobel Prize and you are given sometimes a name along with that discovery. It's given to that. In the same way, the mantras also are in the same way. The sages have discovered them. They invented them. And these sages, their names are attached to that particular mantra, what has been invented by them. So Vishwamitra Rishi came to that level of realization. And then when he was performing penances again, he wanted to go up. And this Vishwamitra Rishi, if you know his history behind him, that you will see that at one point, Vishwamitra Rishi sent one person from here to the heavenly planet. When he was sent to the heavenly planet, he was known as Trishangu. He went to the heavenly planet. Indra from there told him that you have no admission here. Who sent you here? He said to him. So he has come from Vishwamitra Maharshi's order was to go and live in the heavenly planet. Indra sent him back from there. And when he came back, Vishwamitra Maharshi got so upset that he created another heavenly planet in the middle and put him there. And this is how powerful that Vishwamitra Maharshi was. His name is throughout the Puranas you will find, along with Vasishtha Maharshi, Vishwamitra Maharshi's name also mentioned in many instances. Vishwamitra Maharshi trained up Lord Ramachandra and Lakshmana in most of the weapons, they have been trained in the early days, and they spend a lot of time in their childhood, Vishwamitra Maharshi spent with him. And this Vishwamitra Maharshi, who was considered to be such a powerful personality, and this Vishwamitra Maharshi was performing penances, and in that process, Indra decided now that it is becoming a serious threat now. So he decided to send Menaka there. Menaka was an apsaras woman who was sent there to disturb his concentration in his tapas, singing and dancing. And